The last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and I'm going to put up the study, and we are here today on a beautiful Sabbath. That horn sounded great. That was very good. We are one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Kabe Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God, and Shabbat Shalom. Now, I'm probably the only one that's hot.
No, you're not. No, you're
not. Oh, everyone's hot. Good. I thought it was my imagination. But anyway, Shabbat Shalom. You know, we haven't been here all week, but it's nice to be at a little congregation. I did have people email me and tell me they're coming and you know, see them yet?
They're invisible, that's it.
Anyway. Today's a Sabbath, and it's the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. That's sad. Let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint today. Heavenly Father, Master of the Universe, we always come to you, Father, first, and ask you to forgive us any sin, wash us in your blood of anything that we could even imagine could be wrong. We don't sin presumptuously or willingly, but we know we're just earthlings, we're just people. And we never know what we do wrong. So forgive us anything. Bless and anoint this day, this Sabbath. Bless everyone here. Bless everyone on Pow Talk. Teach us something new. Open to us more and more scriptures. We thank you for this feast, Lord and God, all the scriptures we read and things we started understanding. Bless and anoint this day. Put a wall of fire around and about us. Caution us from any evil. Take away anything that's corrupt and fill us only with the truth. That's all we desire, Father. Bless this day in Yeshua's name, this last day of the seven-day feast in Yeshua's name. Amen. God bless everyone, and may God touch everyone and open doors for everyone and with jobs and situations that we're not even aware of in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. I hate to forget anything because I know people are, you know, I see God moving in people's lives, you know, and I thank God for that. And you may not know, but it seems like God's moving in people's lives, you know? Well, today's the 28th day of 2013 in September. It's beautiful out here in Tennessee. Gosh, couldn't ask for a better day. Look how beautiful it is. Thank God. And it's the Sabbath. Of course, it's the 21st day of Ha'etanim. And there's, you guys should know by now Ha'etanim, right? It's the enduring permanent brooks. Yes, the living waters, God, the first and the last, forever. And we're in the 21st day. Okay? It's still sad. A lot of people on the internet, they don't know that it's called Etanim. They're still using Tishrei and whatever they use. They're brainwashed by Judaism and false images of looking holy, I guess. It's not Tishrei, it's not New Year's, it's not Adam's birthday, it's not the creation of the world and all that kind of stuff, okay? Anyway, there's the verse that proves it's Etanim, right? 1 Kings 8:2, there it is, don't forget that. We all know that. And today's the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Hag Sukkot and Hag HaKatzir. And it's the, you know, of course, we're just doing this as a rehearsal when Messiah comes back, the last gathering in someone's lifetime in the future. And, you know, we don't even know if we're going to be here, but, you know, we're just rehearsing it for ourselves or for whomever. Of course, all my studies can be viewed at these websites. You guys know that by now. And I see people utilizing it. That's nice. Some people still never get on them, but they are there in case you ever feel like you need to. There's audios, videos, there's text. I think the videos are most popular, I suspect, and then maybe audios next. No one likes to read anything anymore. Myself also, I have a program that reads to me. Even when I get emails, I copy and paste it to my this little program I have. It just reads it to me. I don't even have to stare at the screen. I'm trying to avoid constantly staring at the screen, and I can give it to you later. It's free.
I don't,
yeah. Anyway, nowadays you could even download it and put them on your iPads when you go walking or wherever you go, to put them on your iPods, iPads, iPhones, and we're on Facebook, of course. Well, today's topic is Today we're not going to be here long because we want to get, you know, we want to get back in our sukkah, you know. Yeah, it's beautiful to do this. Today's just a recap for tomorrow of the last day, the eighth day, the great day, the holy convocation, the solemn assembly. You know, it's a lot of things. You know, I was looking at that this morning. Tomorrow is September 29th, and Lord willing, if it comes, we don't know if we're going to get there, but it's tomorrow. And tomorrow's Sunday, and it's a Sabbath. So we have two Sabbaths in a row. Unfortunately, even on the internet last night, some people say they keep the Sabbath. They don't know about the Feast of Tabernacles, and they don't know about the seven Sabbaths and the Feast of God. And they're getting old, too, and they might go out into eternity breaking the seven Sabbaths, which is sin. I tried to tell them that, but they didn't like it. They said I was harsh.
You know,
people have been using that lately, even when I'm talking. I've been getting that kind of word, even when I'm just like smiling, talking, and just happy, not even thinking about being mad. And somebody goes, man, you're really mean. Somebody did it to me on the phone last week.
The truth?
Yeah. I said, what? I said, me? I wasn't even thinking about being upset or anything, huh? Mean, harsh. Anyway, we get this from Leviticus 23, which I'm going to read as a recap. It says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day, which we did, of the seventh month, it's not New Year, it was the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days, right? Unto Jehovah. On the first day, we had a holy convocation, right? We didn't do any civil work. Melechet Avodah, right? No public or domestic work. And 7 days, you're supposed to offer an offering made by fire, which we don't do that unto Jehovah. And then on the eighth day, which is tomorrow, we're going to do a holy convocation. And it's another day, you're supposed to have an offering unto Jehovah. It's a solemn assembly. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. What is that? And you should do no same thing, no work, domestically or publicly. And the reason why we're doing it is because these are the feast of Jehovah, the feast of God, which are hidden to most of the world. And we live in sort of a Bible Belt kind of place, and most people don't even know about it. They're having party on the lawn instead of like the Feast of Tabernacles or anything that's related to God. My wife was saying, it's funny that we didn't get any, we usually get something in the mail or somebody complains that we have the sign Feast of Tabernacles up. But if they do it this time, we're going to say, well, you put up your egg hunt signs and your Halloween signs and your Christmas signs and all your pagan signs. We'll let them, so far it hasn't happened. But these are Feast of God. And the thing that caught me this morning was, these are the feasts of Jehovah, which you shall proclaim, which we do, to be holy convocations. And same thing again, an offering. Everything has an offering made by fire unto Jehovah, a burnt offering, a meat offering, a sacrifice, drink offering. It says, everything upon his day. And that really hit me today, because I thought to myself, the reason why everything has to be done on God's timing, not when you feel like doing it or when it's at your convenience, right, or whenever you feel it's, you know. So wasn't somebody telling us yesterday that their Sabbath was on Tuesday?
Yeah.
I mean, that's right. I said, yeah, that's true. That is your Sabbath. But we're doing God's Sabbath. Oh,
yeah,
where does it say that? That's not even true. That's not. Gregorian calendar only change the amount of days of the year. Never change the days of the week. It's ridiculous. Anyway, it says right here, now these are all the things you're supposed to be doing besides the Sabbaths of Jehovah, plural, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your free will offerings, which you give unto Jehovah. A lot of people never give offerings to God because they think they have this in their mind, a certain amount. There's no certain amount, because with God, God doesn't care if you throw a penny in the basket there or $1 billion. It's all the same to God. He don't need anything. I mean, it doesn't matter. It isn't. So that's what I'm trying to say. A lot of people don't. They think, well, I don't have nothing on me except a, you know, a few, some change. So what? It's between you and God. It's from your heart. It's not like the amount of money or the sum. You think God really needs anything? Anyway, it says, also on the 15th, and then here, God says this twice, which is always amazing. After we just finished saying it, he goes, also, if you didn't get it, in the 15th day of the seventh month, you shall, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto Jehovah 7 days. On the first day you should have a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And I don't see how you could miss that. Well, just think of all the years we did miss it. Yeah. Doctrine blinds the mind. False doctrine blinds your mind, you know. It says, and you shall take, which we did, we went on the first day of the feast. It says, you shall take on the first day. We went and got boughs of goodly trees and branches of palm trees and boughs of thick trees and willows of the brook. And we do rejoice. And we did rejoice and we're still rejoicing before Jehovah our God 7 days. It's been a pleasure to do this. And you shall keep a feast unto Jehovah 7 days in the year. It's a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. It's not the end of the year. I mean, it's not the new year. It's going towards the end of the harvest year because, you know, there's obviously a few months left, but it's the end of the harvest. And I don't see how Judaism can get that straight. You're going to celebrate in the seventh month. It's not New Year. It says, you shall dwell in booths, which we did. We dwelled so far we've been dwelling every day in booths. All that are, and we're all born, we're all Israelites born again. Right? We're born into the Israel of God. We're going to dwell in booths. We just came out of our captivity of sin and got away from the devil who's Pharaoh. And, you know, so spiritually we did all this, believe it or not, that your generations may know that you made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Jehovah your God. And I was so happy reading those chapters last night, chapter 43 of Isaiah, during the day and other chapters where God makes it so clear there's none else. Basically, he's saying he looked everywhere. There's none like unto him. And I was just like, that just means so much to me because, you know, it just, you know, and the last few days, my wife and I, we've been checking out a lot of this so-called you know, the scientists and the astronomers and the astronauts and soldiers and police, how they all, there's all these real historical records of how they've seen these UFOs. And a UFO is just an unidentified flying object. Doesn't mean it's extraterrestrial, okay? However, they have all this on record. I mean, it's amazing things, these objects that no one knows what they are following. Battleships, following submarines, following jets, following phantom fighters. I mean, and it's they have it on radar and all this. But my brain was starting to think of whether there's extraterrestrials or not. Who cares? God of the universe has made himself known to us, the one who created all things, everything. And I'm sure somewhere far out in the universe, who knows, God might have made something that we will never see. It doesn't matter. So it's not an issue to me whether there's any of these creatures or not. We have the God that created everything. And I was thinking also, even under the sea, there's all these creatures that if you ever look at some of them, they're amazing creatures. Some of them have never seen the sunlight. So we have this God that there's none else like him. He is the only one. And I'm declaring him unto you. And that's the reason why we keep his feasts and we keep his holy days and we do it on his time. We don't do it on our time. Anyway, when I was reading those chapters there, I was looking up some other words that it says everything has to be upon his day. And I was noticing these words. There was the first day, the seventh day, the eighth day, and these are the feasts of God. And then there was the 15th day of the seventh month. This is where my mind looks at a chapter. It takes words out of it and puts it, I put it down on my little notepad, and it's a statute forever, no work of any kind. There's Sabbaths, and there's free will offerings involved. And we're supposed to celebrate everyone that's born again, Israelite born, in booths. And so I summarized the whole thing in just a few sentences, a few words. And I might have missed a couple of things. You might be able to pick out some more things, but these are words that should pop out to you in this holy feast of God. You know?
Did you catch your numbers up there?
Excuse me?
The numbers? You always look at your numbers? No,
I didn't count any of those, no.
7 to 8, 8 to 7 to 15?
Right. No, I didn't count those. But I was noticing these days, the first day, the seventh day, and the eighth day. And then, of course, in the book of Numbers has the whole thing recorded again. In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no civil work. It's the day of blowing of trumpets unto you. Okay? So it's not New Year. It's the Zichron Yom Teruah, the blowing of trumpets. And then on the tenth day of the seventh month is a holy convocation. You shall afflict your souls. You shall do no work at all. Of course, we know that's Yom Kippur, right? And then, of course, on verse 12, it says, on the 15th day of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no civil work. You shall keep a feast unto Jehovah 7 days. And then, of course, it has on the eighth day. So this is all in Numbers 29, too, in case you'd never really look at Numbers 29, besides Leviticus 23. It's all there, too. On the eighth day, you shall have a solemn assembly. Okay? So it's important that we got it in the beginning of Torah and also in the end of Torah, right? Now, I wanted to read this chapter again. I know we must have read it a couple of times this week, but I wanted to read it again because it's Yeshua and the Feast of Tabernacles, which I don't know if anyone in the Protestant world or Christian world has ever really noticed that chapter 7 of John is about the Feast of Tabernacles. Did you notice that when you were in the Protestant world?
No.
No.
I didn't know.
Nobody talks about that.
It.
Yeah, nobody talks about that in the Pentecostal church or the Baptist church or Church of Christ, that it's the Feast of Tabernacles. What's Jesus doing there? Anyway, John chapter 7. After these things, Yeshua walked in Galilee. He would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, they call this the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. That's because, obviously, Caesar and all the Roman Empire weren't keeping it. But anyone that's of the belief of Jewish belief, or Israelites were doing it, right? Anyone who joined the Israelites, too. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence, and go unto Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that you do. And his brethren, I don't know why they were speaking up, he says, for there's no man that does anything in secret, and he himself seeks to be known openly, right? You don't do something in secret, and you want to be known openly. He said, if you do these things, because they didn't believe him anyway, they said, if you do these things, go show yourself to the world. But neither did his brethren believe in him at that time. Then Yeshua said unto them, you know, my time is not yet come. I'm not going to die right now, I can tell you that. But your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify it, that the works thereof are evil. He says, "Go you. Why don't you guys go up to the feast? I'm not going up yet to the feast, for my time has not yet come." See, he does everything on a specific time. Yeah, he didn't say he wasn't going, and we'll see he does go. When he said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up into the feast. Here's Yeshua going up to the feast. And, of course, it's in Jerusalem. It's at the temple still there. It's the one that Ezra, Nehemiah, and Zerubbabel, they all built, right? Still there. And when the brethren were gone up, then went he up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? Because they knew he was going to show up sooner or later. And there was much murmuring. Just think, they're supposed to be doing the Feast of Tabernacles, right? But their brains are focused on, there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. But some said, he's a good man. Others said, nah, he deceives the people. Howbeit no man spake openly of him because of the fear of the Jews. And you can't do that. If you believe in God, you have to be able to speak to him about him anywhere. You can't go, I'm not going to speak around my boss or the other, I don't want them to hear me. No, just say, oh yeah, I'm doing the Feast of Tabernacles this week, and yeah. How come you're not doing it? No. Now about the midst of the feast, so Yeshua is there through the whole feast. Because now in the midst of the feast, Yeshua went up into the temple and taught. And that's something that burnt up the Pharisees, that Yeshua was teaching, you know, in the temple. I mean, he's teaching. And the people were attentive, listening to him. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man lettuce? He's never learned anything. We never have seen him anywhere. Yeshua answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, okay, but the Father's that sent me. That's what you have to learn, okay? If any man will do the Father's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaks of himself seeks his own glory, but he that seeks the Father's glory that sent him, but he that seeks his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the Torah? God gave it to Moses to give to you. And yet none of you keep the Torah. Whoa. What are you going about to kill me? Why do you want to kill me? Yeah. The people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Who's going about to kill you? This is all going on during the Feast of Tabernacles, in the midst of the tabernacles. At the temple, Yeshua answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not because it's of Moses, but of the fathers. And you on the Sabbath day, you actually circumcise a man. Does that work? No. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? In other words, you guys are doing a circumcision that's called a karat, you know, a cutting. I'm actually making someone whole. So he says, make sure you do not judge according to appearance. Do not do that. Judge righteous judgment. That's really important. A lot of people don't know that little sentence there. It's really a big-time verse. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not he whom you seek to kill? But he's low. He's speaking boldly, and you're not. They say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Messiah? Whoa. Howbeit, we know that this man whence he is, but when Messiah comes, no man knows whence he is. Then cried Yeshua in the temple as he taught during the Feast of Tabernacles and said, you both know me and you know whence I am, and I'm not come of myself, but the Father that sent me is true, whom you know not. And that's the way it is today in the synagogues. You can go there and say, you know, God sent me, whom the Father sent. This is the Father's words, whom you don't even know. Because you don't know Yeshua. But I know him, for I'm from the Father. And the Father sent me. Yeah. I'm his word, made flesh. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him. Many of the people believed on him. So there's lots of Jews always believed on him. And said, when Messiah comes, will he do more miracles than these which this man does? The Pharisees, of course, the big, here they are, the Pharisees. For some reason, when I was reading this morning, I was thinking of the Pharisees. I was thinking of some big black, like, raven bird, you know, something like real wicked, you know. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. The Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Yeshua unto them, yet a little while am I with you, then I go unto the Father that sent me. Ye shall seek me, but you shall not find me. and where I am, thither you cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Where is he going to go, that we're not going to be able to find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the nations, the Gentiles, and teach the nations, the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he says, You shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come? And then, tomorrow, for us, but according to this, the last day, the great day of the feast, Yeshua stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Praise the Lord. I love that. Could you imagine that? In the temple, he's saying this. I mean, they must have thought, blaspheme or something. And then he says, In the temple, during the Feast of Tabernacles, he that believes on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Yeshua was not yet glorified. So here's Yeshua talking in the future. Isn't that interesting? It hasn't even happened yet. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, they said, He is the prophet that was spoken in the Torah in Deuteronomy. He is that prophet. And I don't have the verse on me, but it's in Deuteronomy. Others said, This is the Messiah, the one that's foretold all through the Torah and the Tanakh. But some said, shall Messiah come out of Galilee? They didn't know the Isaiah, where it says that. Then it says, had not the scripture says, they're actually quoting exactly what Yeshua did, that Messiah comes from the seed of David. He definitely did. Read the first chapter of Matthew. Yeah. He's right from the seed of David, and also from, I think it's Psalm 138 or something, 130-something, the fruit of David's loins, that Messiah was going to sit upon the throne. Deuteronomy 18:15 for the prophet. Right. And you can look up the one for in Psalms about to sit upon the throne. It's Messiah. Anyway, it says, and he was born in the town of Bethlehem, where David was, right? I mean, they didn't know all these things about Yeshua. And guess what? Just like in your life, there was a division among the people. And Yeshua said that, I didn't come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. I came to bring division. Yeah. So don't be so surprised if your so-called Philistine family starts breaking apart. I say that because most people weren't married in the God of Israel. They were just married in some fake Jesus. Yeah. And then later on, you found out you married a Hittite or a Perizzite. Especially when they don't want to snap out of it. Now, if they were a Perizzite that wanted to repent, that's great. Or a Moabite or an Ammonite or something. You just can't stay that way. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers. Remember these Pharisees, they sent officers of the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said to him, Why have you not brought him? Look what it says right here. The officers answered, the officers were like, they were listening. They said, never any man spoke like this man. Then answered the Pharisees, wait a minute, are you guys also deceived? We sent you. And the Pharisees are upset. They said, have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? Yeah, they have. But this people who knows not the Torah, they're cursed. And they don't, themselves, yeah. And here comes one of the rulers of the Pharisees. A Nicodemus said unto them, he that came to Yeshua by night, being one of them. Yeah, some of the rulers of the Pharisees did believe. Nicodemus says, Doth our Torah judge any man, or even our laws, before it hear him and knows what he does? They answer and said to him, Wait a minute, are you from Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee, there's no prophets. And then, of course, most of the people don't know the Torah like today, and they all went to their own house. And they didn't ask where Yeshua was from, and they should have asked him. He was born in Bethlehem, house of bread, right? just like the prophet said. Anyway, I just wanted to read a couple. I love that chapter, John chapter 7, and it mentions the feast seven times. And, you know, it's just a great chapter that most Christians never read, unfortunately, in the way we read it. Notice how we read it with our eyes open? Having eyes opened, you know? We don't read it like in darkness. Here's some other verses of the great day. You know, even though the eighth day is the great day, I wanted to read this right here because some of these great days have to do with God and his judgment. Zephaniah says, "The great day of Jehovah is near. It is near and hasted greatly. Even the voice of the day." That voice is like the trumpet, you know. The voice of the day of Jehovah. "The mighty man shall cry bitterly." And you can read that whole chapter. It's pretty powerful. In the book of the letter that Jude wrote, says, "The angels which kept not their first estate, had he left, but left their own habitation, he had reserved in everlasting chains of darkness, during this place called hell, unto the judgment of the great day." This is great day coming. And then we have a few verses I'm just going to read. Here's one in Revelation, chapter 5. It says, "I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals." So here's a book with seven seals. Then we go to Revelation 6. "And when the Lamb had opened one of the seals," he was the only one that could open the seals, I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts say, "Come and see." And behold, when he had opened the sixth seal, I'm just going down to the sixth seal real quick. "And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood." This is the sixth seal. "And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll," wow, "when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island was moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, rich men, chief captains, mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains." Just like it says in the book of Isaiah. "And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us." These are the ones that didn't repent. They're so scared. "Hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." Wrath of a lamb? I thought he just loves everybody. The wrath of the Lamb. You know why? "For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" You know, this world, this planet called Earth, that God has made himself known to us, everyone takes everything for granted, you know? And all I could say is, "The great day of his wrath is come." Revelation 16, verse 17. Focus, please, over here. This is chapter 16. "And I saw three unclean spirits," "that are floating around even today, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." You could call this the unholy trinity. Sounds Catholic enough, huh? It says they are the spirits of devils. Spirits of devils. Working miracles. That's the thing, you know, when I read this, I always wonder, you know, I haven't really seen any of this yet, and I don't think you have either, but somebody coming on the scene with power to do actually real miracles right in front of your face to deceive you. That's a pretty scary thing, because you're thinking like, that's a miracle, and you can be deceived. It says, "These are the spirits of devils, and they're working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to battle." To battle, not to a picnic. It's going to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. The great day. Okay? So there's a few verses about the great day. Has nothing to do with the eighth day we're doing, but let's read some more verses of the last day. These are just verses that say the last day. John 6:39 says, "And this is the Father's will which had sent me, that all which had that he had given me, all that the Father gave me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day." There's going to be a last day. Just like there's a last day at the feast. Yeah. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that sees the Son and believes on him," if you see the word of God and you digest it, okay, "you may that you have everlasting life, and God will raise you up at the last day." The last day. "No man can come unto me," Yeshua says, "except the Father which had sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Really? He said, and here it is again, just like the feast, just like it, he says many times, "Whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood had eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So just think, everyone that's sleeping in the dust, everyone's bodies, that is, they're not going to be resurrected into a incorruptible body until the last day, even though their spirits went to go be with God. Don't think I fully know what I'm saying, but I read the word. John 11:24 says, "Martha said unto him, I know that Lazarus," he's talking about Lazarus, "shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." So she knew it too. And everyone should know that. The resurrection is at the last day, right? But Yeshua said, wait a minute, I am the resurrection and the life. And if you believe in me, though you are dead, yet you shall live. Wow. Yeshua says, if you reject me and receive not my words, there's one that's going to judge you. You know who's going to judge you? The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day. It's the word. I am the word. So that's a few verses about the last day. What was the other one? A few verses about the great day. I'm just doing a little study today. Short study today. Here's some other verses about eight-day events, or events on the eighth day in Torah. Now, this is only in Torah. These are some things that take place on the eighth day, which I thought was interesting. I really love this part, that he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised for some reason, right? Every man child in your generation, anyone that's born in your house or bought with money or any of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. So anyone that joins the Israel of God on the eighth day, right? Leviticus 14, Jehovah spoke this to Moses, so I believe it, saying, this is the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. And you can read the whole chapter. I'm just getting to the seventh day. That he shall shave off his hair, off his head, and his beard, and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes also, he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. And on the eighth day he shall take 2 he lambs without blemish, and 1 ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3 10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering, and mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil. And the priest that makes him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean those things before Jehovah at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. This is on the eighth day. So that's you're finished. It's finished. Or I should say, life is starting all over in a clean way. Here's Leviticus 15, and Jehovah spoke unto Moses again, and to Aaron this time, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man have a running issue out of his flesh because of his issue, he's unclean. That's why if you have any cuts or sores or anything, make sure you bandage them up and don't go around and you're unclean, you know. And when he had, it says, when he had an issue, and when he that had an issue is clean of his issue, then he shall number to him 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in running water, and he shall be clean. You have to read the whole chapter. I'm just getting to the seventh day and the eighth day. And on the eighth day, right? This is the time on the eighth day, they always take the sacrifices, the two turtle doves or the two young pigeons, and they come before Jehovah on the door, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they give them unto the priests. And the priest shall offer them, one for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before Jehovah for his issue. Just think, for his issue, has to make an atonement. On my website, I think everything's highlighted. This is just the preliminary study I did. But those are pretty interesting things. This is all on the eighth day. Yeah. Here's one, Leviticus 22:26. Jehovah spoke again to Moses, saying, When a bullock or sheep or goat is brought forth, then it shall be 7 days under the dam. How about that? There's another 7 days. It says, And from the eighth day, and henceforth, it shall be accepted for an offering made by fire unto Jehovah. So there's the 7 and 8 again, which is very unique to me. I don't know if you guys think about this stuff all the time, but there it is. And you can read the whole chapter if you want full definition of what's going on. Now here's Numbers chapter 6. This is the actual... Jehovah speaking again unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If either man or woman, this is man or woman, shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, so a woman could be a Nazarite too, to separate themselves unto Jehovah, all the days of their separation, they shall be holy unto Jehovah. Right? And if any man die, you could read the whole chapter, I'm just getting to the You guys should know already. If any man die very suddenly by him, he had defiled the head of his consecration. Then he shall shave his head in the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day shall he shave it. So they cleanse them, take all the hair off on the seventh day. And of course, again, notice on the eighth day, they bring again the offering. He shall bring two turtles, that's turtle doves, not turtles, and two young pigeons, even though it says right there two turtles, everyone should know turtles are unclean, it's two turtle doves, and two young pigeons to the priest, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering, and make an atonement for him, for that he sinned by the dead, and shall hollow his head that same day. So isn't that interesting? So it's not great to go around dead bodies, right? Yeah. And if you do, make sure you ask God to forgive you. Isn't that amazing? Peter says, I literally like this one. Just think, on the ark, Peter says, you know, God didn't spare the old world. He drowned them all. But he saved Noah, the eighth person. A preacher of righteousness. And he brought the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Every time I read about Noah in the ark and the eighth, he's the eighth person, I always see a picture of Yeshua, and I see a picture of the feast, and I see a picture of salvation, and I see a picture of the only means of atonement. The only way you could make it was to get on the ark, which is a whole picture of the whole Bible right there. And the whole thing is about, to me, the beginning and end of the world, the first chapter of Genesis. But anyway, now that those are some verses in the Torah. Now I'll just read a couple in the Gospels. This is Luke 9, verse 28. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, and you have to read what sayings they were, Yeshua took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which was Moses and Elijah, who appeared in his glory and spake of him, of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Yeshua, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses, one for Elijah. I mean, he's just groggy, not knowing what he said. And while he was just kept talking, all of a sudden there came a cloud, overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered. They entered into the cloud. They entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son. This is my word. Hear him. What do you hear when someone talks words, right? Yeah. And when the voice was passed, Yeshua was left alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. It's pretty interesting. That's a pretty interesting thing after those 8 days. Let's read another one in John, chapter 20, after 8 days again. His disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Yeshua, the doors being shut. And he stood in the midst of them, said, Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. He came right through the hole, right in. Whew. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger. He went right to Thomas. Reach hither your finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Then said Thomas unto Yeshua, You are my Lord and my God. Yeshua said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are they, which are us, that have not seen and yet believe. Yes. Amen. And many other signs truly did Yeshua in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, and I hope the study you enjoyed, that you may believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Word of God, and that believing you may have life through his name. In conclusion, I hope you enjoy this short study today. Tomorrow we'll continue with the study of the 8 days after the 7 day feast. We will shortly be heading back to our sukkah to continue the reading. Look for us on Power Talk. But, you know, if you have anything up you want to say about this study, and it is touching this study, yeah, it's amazing. These things were written that you may believe. And Thomas went down in history, you know. They use that nowadays as an expression, doubting Thomas. But Thomas made it. Yes. And this is all 8 days after. Anyway, maybe something special will happen on our 8 days tomorrow after the 7 day feast. Anyway, this is a short study today. I hope you got something out of it. And I did. You know, I always make sure that my studies are things I don't even think about. I didn't think about this study, just to be honest with you. I didn't even know what I was going to say, to be honest with you. But I kept looking at everything, I was thinking, gosh, It's amazing how on the eighth day they all brought their sacrifices. And you know what shows me? It shows me that the eighth day is, reminds me of this continuing on in righteousness. So whatever we do, after even after the feasts are over, the holy days of God are over, we still continue on doing right, doing righteousness, keeping God's commandments, until one day it's the end. And that's what the eighth day reminds me of. You know, we're clean now, you know, we're clean and we go forward in life. If there is a life, you know, in one generation, time will be no more. And it's over. So I thank God we could be here today. And it's a joyful thing to do the Feast of Tabernacles. And today's the last day, so it's our last time to be in the sukkah today. And I want to say thank God for this study. May God bless everyone today on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint the rest of this day. And I pray you'll open up to us more and more scripture. Heavenly Father, be with us in a special way today. Encamp your angels always round and about us. Caution us from any evil. Bless everything we do, the singing, the food, the fellowship, the study. Bring more and more brothers and sisters to us, Heavenly Father, or let us go to them. Show us what you, where you want us to go. You know we're ready any time you give us the word. We'll be glad to do anything for you in our little lifetime that you've loaned us. Bless this day in Yeshua's name. Thank God for the blood of the Messiah and the Word of God. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I'm going to stop the study, and may the Father be with you, and His Word, and His Holy Spirit. Shabbat.